Wonderful. Okay, so if you've got your Bible, that was from Mark 8. I guess everyone, now we're doing these videos, I guess everyone's left wondering which bit are we going to cover. Because as we've said, we're not going to go through all of it today, but we will go through a bit of it today. Is there any chance we could just have the stage lights just a bit more? I pressed. Something happened, somewhere wrong down there. But we are going to just look at the verses from 27 through to 38, which are the bits where Peter says who Jesus is and about him predicting his death. And Jesus asks the question, which I think and I consider to be the most important question ever. And it's the most important question ever, and the answer to the question is equally just as important. And you may sit here and think, well, there's lots of other kind of important questions that will come my way. And I kind of thought this through for the kind of younger ones that are here. When your teachers say to you, what are your GCSE options going to be? It's a huge question. And you sit there at kind of 12 or 13 years old or 14 year olds and go, I don't have a clue. I don't know what I want to be when I get older, let alone what GCSE options that I should take or any of those other different things. Or maybe there's other big things that we think to ourselves and we think, should I be friends with this person? Or shouldn't I be friends with this person? Some people will have had a question that's been posed to them and it would be a huge question. Will you marry me? It's a huge question that comes our way, and the answer to that question depends on how it shapes the rest of our lives and shapes our future. The men think it's a little bit like having a ball and chain around your neck, but it's not. I'm sure it's not. But it's those kind of questions that come our way. And we think, well, actually, these are huge questions in life. Big questions, big things that will come our way. But I think this question that Jesus poses is a huge question. But the answer to the question is equally just as important of what our response will be. First of all, though, in verse 27, Jesus is there and he's with all the people. And you need to understand, he's in this moment and he says, who do the people say I am? Who do they say that I am? And you know what? We can kind of look through the whole of Mark and see how Jesus has fed 5,000. He's fed 4,000. There's people that have had been demon-possessed who are now not demon-possessed. There's blind men. There's deaf men. All of these things that Jesus has done. And he's asking the question, who do the people think that I am? It wasn't kind of a popularity thing. It wasn't a, oh, come on, just rub my ego for a minute. Just tell me how good I am. I know, I fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 little fish. It wasn't that at all. He just wanted to know, who do the people think that I am? And some will say, Peter replied, some say that you're John the Baptist. Other would say Elijah, and some say that you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus gets to this point where he goes, well, okay. And then we'll see in one of the verses, he says, but, I think it's in verse 29, but he says, but who do you say I am? It's a huge question. And it has massive significance on our lives when we realize, have we answered that question for ourselves? If Jesus was here today and said to you, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? And depending on the answer to the question, it has huge, massive, eternal consequences of who we are and where we're at. So it's a good question to ask, who do they say I am? But really the big question is, but what about you? Who do you say I am? These are big questions. I Googled the top 5 big questions in life. And do you know what they were? They were, am I happy? They say that was one question that we should ask ourselves. Am I happy? Am I grateful? Do I like my job? Was another question that they said that we should ask of ourselves. Do I feel good? And do I spend enough time on my education? And you may sit there and go, oh, they're big questions. But there is no bigger question than asking, who do you say that I am? And we all have to answer this question. Who is Jesus? And in verse 29, Peter says this. Peter answered, you are the Christ. In the New Living Translation and the translation that we heard today, Peter replied, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, you are the Messiah. It's the same thing. It comes down to the same word and same meaning what it was. But this is what it was. He was saying, who do you say I am? And he says, you are the Christ. Matthew's version of it says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus needed to pose this question so that he could get to a place to share something with them later on, which we'll come to and we'll have a look at. In verse 31, in the start of 32, it says this. He began to teach them. So this is after Peter has said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, you're the Messiah. He says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man, he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. We kind of get these moments, and we've seen it already through the book of Mark, where the disciples didn't always get it. This morning, when we preached this morning, we went through these different bits. Jesus felt like he was saying something to them really clearly. He's like, this is what I'm saying, and I can't make it any much clearer. And then as soon as the crowds have gone, and the disciples are together again, they say, just tell me about this thing again, because I don't really get it, and I don't really understand. So Jesus, in this moment, he's saying to them, I'm speaking to you really plainly. There's no parables going on here. I'm telling you exactly what's going to happen. That there is going to be the Son of Man who must suffer. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be killed and he's going to rise again. And in that moment, he was saying, do you actually get who this is that I'm talking about? He's saying, the Son of Man, that's me. The Christ, who Peter just said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's me. I'm going to be the one that's rejected. I'm the one that's going to suffer. I'm going to be the one that's going to be killed. And I'm going to be the one that is to rise again. And Peter, in his human level, which probably would be each and every one of us, would be like, no, like don't. Surely that's not going to happen. And Jesus is like, you've just said who I am. And now you've gone from who I am to this kind of other moment. And we read it in verse 32. Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. Peter goes from, you are Christ, you're the Messiah. He goes from this Holy Spirit God moment. We read it in Matthew's translation, in Matthew's version. He says, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. He goes from, you are the Christ, to having said of him, get behind me, Satan. You really don't understand everything that you've just said or what that actually means. Because I am the Messiah. And I am the Messiah who came, who lived and did all of this stuff. But I'm going to be the same Messiah who's going to have to suffer, who's going to be rejected, who's going to be killed. But I will rise again. But obviously Peter just heard the dead bit, the killed bit, freaked out and kind of had a little bit of a hissy fit in this moment. But this is exactly what happens. You're the Christ. Yes, you're the Christ, but please don't die. That's what Peter was basically coming down to. That's what it boiled down to. You really are the Christ, but I don't want you to die. Surely that doesn't have to happen. Surely we can skip that bit. But that wasn't to be. In verse 33, it says this, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. He went from, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, to I don't really get this. I'm going to be a stumbling block. And Jesus has to rebuke him and say, get behind me, Satan, for what is happening. Jesus, he spoke so plainly. We can read it in verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus has plainly just told them that I am the Messiah and I'm the one who's going to suffer and I'm the one who's going to die. Yes, I am going to be the one who rises again, but I need you as my followers to deny yourself. I need you to take up your cross and I need you to come and follow me. Do you remember ever playing the game Follow the Leader or Follow My Leader, where you would kind of go around and people would just kind of follow wherever you would go and they would kind of do whatever you would do? And if I was here today going, hey, follow me, we're going to go to the park, and we're going to go get ice cream, and we're going to go to the cinema, and we're going to do all this fun stuff, you'd be like, hey, yeah, let's follow him. This sounds like a great day out. But Jesus, in this moment, he's playing a game of follow my leader. But it doesn't sound like it's ice cream. It doesn't sound like it's fun. It doesn't sound like the cinema. He says, if you're going to be someone who follows me, let's play a game. Let's play this game of life that is called follow my leader. But to follow my leader, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross and you're going to have to follow me. Some study notes that I read this week said the Romans, Mark's original audience, knew what taking up their cross meant. Death on a cross was a form of execution used by Rome for dangerous criminals. A prisoner carried his own cross to the place of execution, signifying submission to Rome's power. Jesus used this image of carrying the cross to illustrate the ultimate submission required to his followers. He is not against pleasure, nor was he against saying that we should needlessly seek pain. But Jesus was talking about the heroic efforts needed to follow him moment by moment to do his will, even when it means that it's difficult and the future doesn't look very bleak. It doesn't look like a game of fun, follow my leader, does it? But this is the life that we're called to. This is what he's called us to, that we should be a people who deny ourselves. As a child, what's the first words that children come out with? What kind of things do children say first? Dave, you're close to that. What was it?
Ball.
Ball. Oh, ball. There you go. Ball. Yeah. Anything else? Who said that? Who read my notes? You read my notes. Mine. Maybe they say mum or dad or ball, but they learn mine very, very quickly. If you ever play with a child for any length of time and you've got one of their toys or you try to take one of their toys, they're very quick to go, that's mine. Like, don't play with my toy. Don't take my toy. That's mine. I want to keep that thing for myself. But are we not exactly the same? Do we not say, hey, Jesus, I want to live this life for you. I want to give my life to you. I want to live for you. Forgive me of my sins and let me follow after you. But there's something within us that just goes, but that's mine. I want to keep this bit for myself. I want to keep hold of that. I don't want to give that thing away. But Jesus is saying, you've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Because it's not mine. It's not ours to kind of hold on to. We're to be a people that give it all away. And inside my coat pocket, I picked up just a few things that I think actually is so easy to go, actually, well, it's just mine. But maybe with everything that we have, and I guess we all have mobile phones, we all have a phone and we think, well, this is mine and I need this and I need that and I need it for the other. And we've got our social media on there, or I call people on there, or I use Apple Pay on there, or other ones are available, they're just not as good as Apple Pay. But, you know, we kind of have this thing, but maybe we should be people that take our phone and lay our phone down and say, actually, it's not mine. It's not for me to hold on to and for me to cling to. A bunch of keys, which have got keys to the church here, which represent my job or my house or any of those kind of things, but we should be people that say, actually, it's not mine. I'm going to lay that down. I'm going to deny self and I'm going to say, God, it's yours. Why don't you take hold of that? What else have I got in my pocket?
Money.
Hey, I have actually. I've got a cash card. There you go. A cash card, and we take hold of that and we go, but actually, well, I worked really hard for this. So this is mine, so I'm going to do whatever I want with it. But actually, if we're a people who say, I'm denying myself, I'm taking up my cross, I'm following you, we'd be a people who lay our money down. I think I might have a car key in there as well. Got a car key in there as well. Olivia thinks that's her car key, but it's not. It's my car. But we lay those things down. We should be a people that say, actually, I'm just giving this because it's my life in which I live. It's not mine. It's denying myself. It's taking up the cross. It's following him. They're big statements. It's a hard thing to do, but we're to be a people that follow after him. Verses 35 and 37 say this, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it if a man gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? We so live in a world of it's all about me and what I can get and what I do and live for the moment and everything else will be all okay. And we don't really think kind of about future. But when we live our life for Christ, and we totally do, we're basically losing our life. But when we lose our life for the sake of the gospel, we gain it. It means that it's that of victory, and it means that we live in those places and live in those moments. And then Jesus says to them, what good is it? Come on, really think about it. What good is it if a man gains the whole world? You have everything. You have all the nice houses. You have the best iPhone. You have the best car. You have all the money in your bank. What good is that, though, if a man gains the world and yet forfeits his soul? What good is it? Life can seem good and fun and shiny and all of those good things that go. But Jesus is trying to get to this point and this place of saying, actually, it's not about all of those things. And yes, it's going to be tricky, and yes, it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be a path that's going to be tough on the way. But for the sake of the gospel, you will gain life. And that's why the question that we started with was so important, where Jesus says, who do you say I am? And church, I want to ask us today, who do you say he is? Who is he to you? Do you know what? This doesn't really sound like I put my hand up in a meeting and I want Jesus to be my best friend. It doesn't sound like that kind of life. But maybe lots of us kind of started out on that journey and started out in that place of going, yeah, Jesus, I want you to be my best friend. But no one told me I was going to have to deny myself. No one told me I was going to have to take up my cross. No one said I was going to have to go on some not-so-fun game of follow my leader for the sake of the gospel. But if we lose our life for the sake of the gospel, we'll gain it in so much more and so much measure. But that's what he's called us to. Who do you say I am? Who am I to you? Don't hold on to your life so tightly. Why don't you let it go? And by letting it go, you will gain it. You will gain it and you'll gain so much more. So may you be a people who know Jesus as your Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And may you deny yourself. May you take up your cross and may you follow him that you may lose it, your life, so that you would save it for him and for the kingdom. We're going to finish with a song, and this song is called Surrender. And the lyrics say this: I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I'm laying down my life for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Let's stand. And if you know it, then you can sing along. If you don't know it, just let the words just be sung over you in this moment of just saying, God, I surrender my all to you. Amen.